seated. The last speaker this morning was not able to come. His wife was very ill, and the fellow should stay back home there. So that'll be hard. But he sent his message to us. We've asked Brother Bill Shepherd to come and read it for us. It's called the First English Bible. First English Bible. So Bill, he's helping back his name very much.
I'm going to read this message to you. This came from L.B. Hawes in Colorado, and I wish him well, and I pray that his wife recovers. The First English Bible, there's a lot of history from the original Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek manuscripts to the First English Bible. Also, there has been a lot written on this history. Some years ago, I heard of a man who was asked to give his testimony. His response was that he would not give his testimony, but he would tell about his testimony. So in like manner today, my plan is to tell you about the First English Bible. The Acts of the Apostles records the birth and spread of Christianity during the first century. From Eusebius, we learn of a missionary named Patmos about 180 AD who took the gospel to India. There he found that one of the apostles, Bartholomew, had preceded him, leaving the Gospel of Matthew in Hebrew or Aramaic. Some believe Paul traveled to England. John Lewis, in his book, A Complete History of Several Translations of the Bible, refers to Paul as the Apostle of Britain. For the first 5 to 6 centuries, the Bible, particularly the New Testament, was translated into many languages, some say as many as 500. None of those languages was English, as the English language was still being formed. The land now called England was conquered by Julius Caesar in 55 BC. Peace between England and Rome lasted until the reign of Claudius. Rome invaded and England became part of the Roman Empire in 43 AD. As Christianity continued its growth throughout the Roman Empire, it became the faith of England by the 3rd century. When Rome withdrew from England in the 5th century to protect the capital, Rome from invading by the invading German troops. German tribes also invaded the British Isles. The German tribes, Angles and Saxons, merged with the Celts and became known as the English. the Roman Church began to take over the secular and sacred world of the world entered, as the world entered a period called the Dark Ages. The Roman Church refused to allow the scriptures to be in any language other than Latin. Since only the priests were educated to understand Latin, this gave the church ultimate power. Anyone possessing non-Latin scriptures could be executed. The Bible used by Roman Church was the Latin Vulgate, translated by Jerome in 382 AD into Latin. Even though it was dangerous, portions of the Bible continued to be translated into English. Cataman, 678, a cowherder, turned scripture into old English poems. Adhelm, 709, Bishop of Sherborne, translated a portion of the Psalms from Latin Vulgate into Anglo-Saxon. Bede, 675 to 735, translated the Gospel of John into English on his deathbed. Alfred the Great, 849 to 901, King of Wessex, translated the Ten Commandments. Exodus 21 to 23, and Acts 15, 23 to 29. So the world continued until the 14th century, around 1324. John Wycliffe was born. Wycliffe became an Oxford professor, scholar, theologian, and early proponent of reform in the Roman Catholic Church. Wycliffe diligently studied the Bible. He became well known throughout Europe for his opposition to the teaching of the Roman Church, which he believed to be contrary to the Bible. Wycliffe became convinced that everyone had the right and duty to read Scripture in their own language, and that only the Word of God could break the bondage of Romanism, which enslaved the people. That's from Zion's Fire Magic, March-April 1991, special edition, page 8. The only legal Bible was still the Latin Vulgate. Aside from the clergy, most people could not read or understand Latin, so most people did not have access to the Bible. To change this situation, Wycliffe began to translate the Bible into English. With the help of his secretary, John Purvey, Wycliffe translated from the Latin Vulgate and completed the translation of the New Testament in 1380. The Old Testament was completed in 1382, and the entire handwritten Bible was issued. For the first time, the English people had the opportunity of reading the Bible in their own language. Boy, we take that for granted, don't we? For most of his life, Wycliffe was at odds with the Roman Catholic Church. 30 years after his death, the Church finally took official action at the Council of Constance in 1415. Wycliffe's disciple, John Huss, was burned at the stake, and Wycliffe was condemned on 260 different counts. The council also ordered that Wycliffe's bones be exhumed and burned. 13 years later, Wycliffe's bones were dug up and burned along with all the Bibles and books by him that could be found. His ashes were thrown into the Swift River. The Roman Church thought this would stamp out Wycliffe's influence and stand as a warning to others. But as Thomas Fuller puts it, they burned his bones and ashes and cast them into the Swift. This book, the Swift, conveyed his ashes into Avon, Avon into the Severn, Severn into the narrow seas, they into the main ocean. And thus the ashes of Wycliffe are the emblem of the doctrine which now is dispersed all over the world. Some have called Wycliffe the morning star of the Reformation. His accomplishments spread Reformation doctrine throughout Europe. Wycliffe's Bible became the first complete English Bible, handwritten and translated from the Latin Vulgate. During the next 140 years, three events happened that made translation and distribution of Bibles easier. The first was John Gutenberg's invention of a printing press with movable type. Some say this was the single most important event to influence the spread of the Bible. The first book to be printed on this new invention was the Bible, in Latin called the Gutenberg Bible. This happened in Mainz, Germany in 1455. The next event was the publishing of a Greek-Latin parallel New Testament by Erasmus in 1516. The Latin was his own translation, not the corrupt Vulgate. From more accurate, reliable Greek, he collated from partial Greek manuscripts. This parallel New Testament was the first non-Latin Vulgate text to come off the printing press. His New Testament showed just how corrupt and inaccurate the Latin Vulgate was. and now important, and how important it was to use original Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek texts to maintain accuracy and to translate them faithfully into the language of the common people. The third event was several actions by Martin Luther. Luther declared his intolerance with the Roman Church's corruption on Halloween 1517 by nailing his 95 theses of the contention to the Wittenberg Church door. In 1522, Luther published a German New Testament translated from the Greek using his collateral help. Erasmus's Greek-Latin New Testament second edition and the earlier German versions. In the 1530s, he published the entire Bible in German. William Tyndale, called by some the captain of the army of reformers, was born in 1494 in North Nibley, England. Tyndale enrolled at the Oxford in 1505 and grew up at the university. He became a theologian, a scholar, and fluent in seven languages: Hebrew, Greek, Latin, Spanish, French, Italian, and English. He also had a working knowledge of German. Tyndale received his master's degree in 1515 at the age of 21. His devotion to the study of Scripture and the doctrines of the Reformation caused many disputes with Roman Catholics. A clergyman once taunted Tyndale with the statement, "We are better to be without God's law than the Pope's." Tyndale was infuriated by these Roman Catholic heresies, as I think we all should be. Replied, "I defy the Pope and all his laws. If God spares my life, ere many years, I will cause a boy that driveth a plow shall know more of the Scripture than thou doest." Tyndale purposed to translate the Scriptures into commonly spoken English of the day, based on the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek texts. Because Tyndale's English Bible project was well known, inquisitors and bounty hunters were constantly on Tyndale's trail to arrest him and to prevent his project. With such opposition to translating the Bible into English, Tyndale left England for Hamburg, Germany in 1524. Sir Thomas More states in his dialogue that Tyndale has, as soon as he got him hence, got him to Luther Strait. More further adds that at times of his translation of the New Testament, Tyndale was with Luther at Wittenberg, Germany. Although some sources deny Tyndale and Luther worked together, it seemed logical that they did. Both were well educated, both were knowledgeable of the languages needed, and both had passion to translate the Bible into the language of the people. With the help of his secretary, William Roy, Tyndale completed the translation of the New Testament in English. Tyndale's New Testament was translated from the Greek using collateral helps the Latin Vulgate. Erasmus's Greek-Latin New Testament and Luther's German New Testament. Tyndale was so committed to preserving the words of the original, he invented new English words to produce words of Hebrew and Greek original, such as Passover, atonement, intercession. That's from writer Leland Ryken, The Legacy of the King James Bible, celebrating 400 years, the most influential English translation. Tyndale's New Testament translation was completed in the latter part of 1524 or in the early part of 1525. In the summer of 1525, Tyndale traveled to Cologne and arranged with Peter Quental to print his New Testament. Johann Dobneck, one of the bitterest and fiercest enemies of the Reformation, found out about Tyndale's work in Cologne and alerted the authorities of Tyndale's activities. In September 1525, as the pages of Matthew began to come off the printing press, Tyndale was warned that a raid had been planned by Dobneck. Tyndale, with Roy, rushed to the printers, gathered the sheets printed, and fled by ship up the Rhine River to Worms, Germany. Here, Tyndale's work continued at the printing press of Peter Schaeffer. By the end of 1525, several thousand copies of Tyndale's New Testament were ready for distribution. Tyndale's New Testament became the first English New Testament to be printed. Tyndale moved to Antwerp, Belgium in 1527 and published several works. The Pentateuch in 1530, Jonah in 1531, Joshua to Second Chronicles, translated, published after his death, New Testament Revised Edition, 1534. By 1535, others had been given to hunt him down, Tyndale, and stop his work. On 21st of May, 1535, Tyndale was seized and imprisoned in the dungeon of the castle of Vilvoorde near Brussels, Belgium. Among the list of heresies he was charged with are the following. He maintained that faith alone justifies. He maintained that belief, he maintained that to believe in forgiveness of sins and to embrace the mercy offered in the gospel was enough for salvation. He denied that there is a purgatory. He affirmed that neither the Virgin nor the saints pray for us in their own person. He asserted that neither the Virgin nor the saints should be invoked by us. Tyndale was condemned as a heretic in August 1536. On the morning of 6th of October 1536, he was led to the stake. His feet were bound to the stake, his waist was chained, and a noose of rope was placed around his neck. Tyndale, with a loud voice, prayed, "Lord, open the King of England's eyes." The executioner snapped down on the noose, strangling Tyndale, and then he was burned to ashes. This appears to be the standard form of execution at the time. One source said only Anabaptists were burned alive. A note here that God did answer Tyndale's prayer within a year. A Bible was placed in every parish church by the king, the king's command. During 1529, Tyndale had become acquainted with Miles Coverdale in Hamburg, where Coverdale assisted Tyndale in the translation work. Coverdale was not so much a translator as a careful editor and compiler. Coverdale finished the translation of the Old Testament started by Tyndale, translating from the Latin Vulgate. He also used the Latin Vulgate for the New Testament as well as Luther's German Bible. In this translation, he used much English phraseology from Wycliffe and Tyndale, which continue today, such as Wycliffe, first fruits, straight gate, peradventure, son of perdition, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord, the deep things of God. Tyndale, be not weary in well-doing, my brother's keeper, the salt of the earth, sign of the times, a law unto themselves. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Fight the good fight. With God, all things are possible. The patience of Job, an eye for an eye. O ye of little faith, he went out and kept and wept bitterly. Give us this day our daily bread. Even some of Coverdale's phrases continue today. The valley of the shadow of death, thou anointest my head with oil, baptized into his death, tender mercies, loving kindness, respect of persons. That's from Leland Ryken's Legacy of the King James Bible as well. His translation of the Coverdale Bible was published on the 4th of October, 1535. Coverdale's Bible became the first complete English Bible to be printed. The second edition was published in 1537 with the King's gracious license and became the answer to Tyndale's prayer. Lord, open the King of England's eyes, not that had been uttered a year earlier. John Rogers, a priest, met Tyndale and Coverdale in Antwerp in 1534 and became dedicated disciple of Tyndale. These men witnessed to Rogers, and Rogers came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. John Fox writes, in conferring with them the scriptures, he came to a great knowledge in the gospel of God, insomuch that he cast off the heresy yoke of popery, perceiving it to be impure and filthy idolatry. Rogers wanted a translation that would contain all the works of his friend Tyndale, translated from the original languages. He knew Coverdale was not familiar with the original languages of the Bible. Therefore, his Bible was a composite of Tyndale's translation from Genesis to 2 Chronicles, Coverdale's translation from Ezra to Malachi, and Tyndale's New Testament. Rogers used the assumed name Death, the printing of the Bible in English. Rogers had little to do with the translation, but contributed valuable prefaces and marginal notes. These are often cited as the first original English language commentary on the Bible. Rogers' Bible, the Matthew's Bible, was published in 1537. This Bible became the second complete English Bible to be printed. From here, these English Bibles followed. The Great Bible in 1539, the Geneva Bible in 1560, the Bishop's Bible in 1568, and the King James Bible, 1611. From 1611 to 1769, there were several editions of the King James Bible. These corrected mistakes and misspellings and standardized spelling and punctuations and updated the English as it changed from 1611 to 1769. So now we have the ultimate English Bible, the King James Bibles. 1611, 1769 edition, the Bible for today. Thank you.